Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio with your host, Dr. Cheryl Thaxton, for Favor Life, the prophet of there where we walk by faith and not by sight, do the things that God has called us to, and he uses everyday life to bring us to the place where we exemplify him, where we look like him, line upon line, precept upon precept, faith to faith, glory to glory, height to height, depth to depth. God uses unlikely candidates. He uses people that other people would not have ever chosen. You probably wouldn't even have chosen yourself. But God has chosen you before the foundations of the world to do something wonderful and glorious for him. So it's an honor to be called by God, chosen by him, and then be used for his purpose and his plan. We've been looking at individuals in the Bible, looking at ordinary people, not seeing them as superhuman Christians, to seeing them as ordinary people that God has chosen, but watching their lives and seeing that as they go through the process of there, they don't always make the right decisions. They don't always do the right thing. They don't always follow the instructions of the Lord. But because of their failure, it does not stop or refute the word of God. That word is still accomplished. That word still manifests in their life. That word still comes to pass because God takes the word that he speaks, which he's faithful over, and he brings it to pass because even in our failure, he still covers the multitudes of our sins with his grace and allows us to walk in the righteousness of God, the grace that he gives. And in doing that, he brings glory to himself through us by manifesting the word that he's spoken concerning us, which is his perfect will. Our broadcast has been dealing and talking about our hearts, our attitudes towards what we face. And today we're just going to talk about our worship, because sometimes in everything that we do, we have to remember that we still have to worship God, that we're still commanded to worship. We're still commanded to give God glory, that we are to bless him, that we are to honor him, that our life is to be a worship unto him. And it's amazing to me that no matter how much I worship, no matter what I do in my worship experience, it never gets tired. My worship with God never gets tired because God himself begins to prove himself over and over and over again in my life as we worship, as we get into the place where he's glorified. The Bible lets us know that we've been commanded to worship. We've been commanded to give God glory. In fact, in Exodus 34 and 14, it says, do not worship any other God, for the Lord whose name is jealous is a jealous God. We've been commanded to give God glory, honor, and praise because of who he is, and to worship him and him alone. Give him due reverence, benevolence. Let him know that he is the great God, that he is the great Lord, that he's worthy from the rising of the sun to the setting of the same. What happens in our life is the enemy and the circumstance that hit us and try to get our focus off makes us lose the place of our worship, the throne of our worship, to the magnitude that God wants us to experience. Because worship says that I reverence you, I prostrate myself before you, not only my body, but my spirit, my heart, my will. I prostrate myself before you. I lay myself down. I stoop down. I humble myself before a supreme ruler and give you reverence, give you homage. I kiss you. I kiss at you. I serve you. I honor you because you're worthy of this honor. You're worthy of this reverence. You're worthy of this worship. There's no one greater, no one like you. And we understand that when we begin to prostrate ourselves, when we get in the posture to worship God, that nothing can pull us out of that place of what we're receiving or what we're giving God, because it's not like praise. Praise when you praise God, it's for all that He's done and all that He's going to do and all the things that that we know that He has given to us. But when we worship, worship is so totally intimacy where it says, I honor and reverence you as God. All I'm doing is talking about you and your greatness, not about what you've done, not about what you're going to do, but just who you are. You are the greatest God. You're the majesty, the excellent one. We just talk about Him. We worship Him. We tell Him who He is. And even though we know, when we begin to worship God, as we fall in line and we prostrate ourselves, we call into, in effect, the heavenly host. We call into effect that which is around the throne of God to be manifest, to be seen, to be evident in our lives, because we're worshiping God in spirit and in truth. We're giving God what's due Him in the earth. We're allowing what's around the throne of God to now be seen and evident in the earth. The Bible says, "Let the glory of the, that the glory of the Lord will be seen in the earth." We're part of the glory of God, that we give glory to Him, and when we reverence Him, when we live to bring Him glory, when we worship Him, something happens in the earth that looks like God in a greater dimension. And the enemy understands that, and he recognizes that. So he tries to get us off focus so that we don't worship. He tries to get us in a place where we're complaining or we're frustrated or we're looking at the problem or we're looking at what's going on, what has not happened. We're looking at our failures or what we need to do and how much pressure we're under when we need to give thanks to God, worship to Him. Paul said it the best. Well, he said, wherever I find myself, whatever position I'm in, whatever's going on in my life, I'm making myself content in that, giving God worship. I'm giving God reverence. I'm glorifying God because I was born, I was created to worship. We were created to adore God. There is a worship inside of us that never, ever runs dry. No matter how long you've been a believer, a Christian, and you worship and you adored God, whenever you worship and adore God, it's always a new experience. It's always a new encounter. It's always wonderful. God always says or touches or His presence fills the kabod of God, the glory of God comes in, and something supernatural happens as we begin to glorify God and exalt Him, lift Him up, make Him large, lift Him to another level, let Him be magnified to a greater degree. Because as we touch God in our intimate worship and our intimate time, nothing else matters, but we are pulled into a place where we experience God in a different realm, in a different way. We encounter God in a way that He's able to touch areas of our life that we have not allowed Him. See, because God wants to walk into all the quarters of our life. He wants to be able to walk in and be Lord, be God. And when we worship Him, when we glorify Him, He's able to come in and love on us on a greater measure, show us the things that we could not see or experience or encounter outside of that deep worship experience. The enemy understands that if we stop that worship process, we stop going, entering in, if we stop going into the secret place, if we stop dwelling, if we stop magnifying God, then we go to the place where you get just complacent with your relationship and you start moving in the place in the area of works. But when we worship, we do it with all of our heart. We give, yield ourselves. We hold nothing back. It's all about the King. It's all about the Lord. It's all about Him. It's not about us. It's all about Him. And when we begin to worship as individuals, we pull the power and the love of God in a way in our hearts and our mind and our spirit that rejuvenates us, that gives us life, that gives us power. When we worship together, it is all of us coming together with one unique goal, to lift up the name of Jesus, to magnify God. And as we begin to worship him, honor him, adore him, what happens is, even though it is a corporate experience to engage in, that we all get involved in, God is so awesome that he speaks and touches us individually, that our intimacy, is, even though we're in a corporate setting, it is still personable with us. He still reaches. He still touches. He still does something awesome. And then he comes in and does a corporate blessing, a corporate release, because we are magnifying, glorifying the King together. The enemy does not want our individual personal worship. He doesn't want that, because worship basically says that we perceive the presence of a divine God. We understand and we want and we long for the presence of a divine God. We want that encounter. Our personal experience of worship basically is our intimate walk. But when we come together and we worship, what we do personally is affirmed in our corporate experience. It is the thing that comes and it basically allows us to understand the momentum of the grace, of the glorious grace of God that is in action in our life, that is moving in our life. And this presence of the Lord comes in and it saturates us, empowers us, and strengthens us. God endows us together. We get something, we see something together that we can't get on our own. God loves corporate worship. He loves that ability to come together and lay aside every weight, every burden, every care, and focus totally on him and lift him up and magnify him for the glorious victory that he's given us, the glorious victory of the cross, the glorious victory of what he's won, what he's conquered. The glorious victory that makes us able to call him Father, that we're able to enter in, that we're able to give him glory, that glorious presence that brings him down through our worship experience. He's able to speak to us. He's able to love us. He's able to heal us, because nothing, when we're in that setting of worship and it's purified worship, not the act where you lose yourself, because we can go through the motion. We can go through the motion of this relationship. We can go through the motion of this worship. But when you get intimate with God, you lose yourself. You lose time. You lose being in control. And just let him be the God, be the Lord, be the King. And you begin to worship, bow before him, prostrate yourself, scoop down, give him glory. Tell him who he is. Tears are running down your face, and you want to just love him even more. This place of worship, the enemy hates. He hates it. So he tries really hard to make your day and make your life and make everything before you enter that place of worship be so frustrating that you can't worship. But I encourage you, find your place of worship personally and corporately. Make it your business to go in and participate, not watch worship. Go in and be a part of it. Go in and make the throne of your heart the place where God can come in. Make it all about the King. Make it all about his presence. Make it all about his glory. Make it all about who he is. Not the kids, not what's going to happen when we leave, not who didn't sing the right song, not what's all about the King. I don't care if you sing off or they're singing off or they didn't do it the way you want. Make the worship experience the experience that brings down the glory of God. Because in worship, you've got to expect something. You've got to expect to meet him. You've got to expect him to come. So when you come in there with expectancy, your expectancy says, God is going to do something today. And whatever it is, I make myself ready. We make ourselves ready for the King. We make ourselves ready for his endowment. We make ourselves ready for his presence. We make ourselves ready for anything that he wants to do. Find your place of worship personally and corporately. Don't let the enemy make your posture in the spirit, not a posture of worship. Always choose to worship from your heart, with all of your might, with everything in you, and love the kingdom. I'm Pastor Cheryl Baxter. Thank you so much for joining me for Favor Life today and being this 15-minute of empowerment. And I pray that you've been blessed, and that next week as we come, that you will be blessed again. Have a wonderful weekend, a glorious time, and be encouraged in your process of theirs. Enjoy your journey. God bless you.